What is the chief end of man? This well-known question is the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. With this question, we are asked to examine what our primary purpose is as created by God. The answer given, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, is a simple to learn and yet contains an unmeasurable depth. This question and answer is the first of 107 questions and answers found in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It was first written in 1647 by the Westminster Assembly in London, England. It has since been a treasure of Bible-centered instruction, taught and learned in churches and families throughout the world. While it was originally written for children, it contains rich instruction for everyone. For people of every age and intellect. We hope you will learn much from these lectures on the Westminster Shorter Catechism and that they will be a rich blessing for you.
Have you ever thought about why you are here? Not the place you are as you watch this video, rather, why you are in this world? What is the purpose of your life? These are big questions, and they're big questions because they touch on all that is in our life. They guide us and they direct us, and they help us to make sense of what we're supposed to be doing at any given moment and with the whole of our life considered. Now, people have been asking this question for centuries. Some have written books on it. Some have governed their life by very well thought out answers to these questions. And it's a question that is before us today. Our catechism asks this question and does so with the following words. The first question of our catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? Now, the words may sound a bit strange at first, so let's make sure that we understand what's being asked. The key words are first, chief end. The word chief means primary or main or most important. And the word end means goal or purpose. When we use the word here, man, it's not referring to men as different from women. Instead, it's speaking of humanity, mankind, that is humanity in general. So the question is asking, what is the most important purpose for all mankind? The question is important, and it gives focus for all other questions in our lives and all things that we're to do. The Catechism gives us an excellent summary of what the Bible teaches on this topic. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's important for us to understand these words. The word glorify, to glorify God, means to do all things to honor Him. To enjoy Him means that we experience an inward delight in God as God and as our God. The world seems to think the most important purpose is to seek earthly and personal and selfish happiness. This isn't something entirely beyond what the Bible acknowledges. For the Bible in Isaiah 22 and verse 13 characterizes some as saying, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. So the world has adopted this in many ways as its purpose, to eat and to drink, to find pleasure so long as we have life, because eventually our lives are going to end. Well, the Bible gives us a far better and a more noble purpose. And we can see this in the Bible, just surveying quickly a few verses to help us see first that we're to glorify God. We see this in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Paul writes, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Paul also writes in Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whether we eat or drink, Whether we speak or do things, all is to be done to honor the Lord. We also see, as the Bible teaches, that we're to enjoy Him. So Psalm 73, verses 24 and 25, we find the psalmist saying, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The psalmist has come to see that his delight, his joy, is God Himself. You can see this as Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:8, speaking of Jesus Christ. He says, "Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Well, as you read the Bible, you'll see these ideas come up again and again. But we wish to focus our lesson now on three points to help us understand this teaching of the Bible. First, notice that man's purpose is focused on God. Second, notice that man's purpose joins glorifying and enjoying God together. And third, notice that man's purpose, his ultimate purpose, is an everlasting purpose, a purpose that will never end. So first, man's purpose is focused on God. Now, to focus on something is to give all of our attention to it. It's the opposite of being distracted. Most people in the world focus on the wrong thing. Preeminently, they focus on themselves, and this will lead them to wrong answers about their purpose. If you focus on a wrong target, you're not going to hit the right target. And when men focus on themselves as their main attention, they'll miss out on the right thing that should have their attention. When it is that men focus on themselves, they fail to start with God. Now, if we're going to answer the question before us correctly about man, by the way, is a creature which God has made, we must be sure to consider what God, who is the Creator, thinks. In the very beginning of the Bible, we're told that God created man. Genesis 1 and 2 give us this amazing record, which we'll think about in later lessons. But notice particularly the account that's given to us regarding God's creation of man in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. It's there that we read these words. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. What you'll notice is that mankind is made in God's image. He reflects Him. He is like Him. Now, certainly, man is not like God in every way. God is infinite and eternal, while mankind is limited and bound to time. We need to sleep, but God never rests. We need to eat in order to get strong and healthy, but God is nothing but strength and life. And yet, God made man very special. Mankind is made to reflect God, to honor God. This is what he was made to be and to do. We'll learn more about this in future questions, but for now, notice that God made man his special reflection in this world. And if we are to reflect God, if we are to honor God, we must then focus on God. You can think of a mirror. A mirror reflects what it is pointed at. If we are to reflect God, we must be pointed at Him. We must know Him. We must understand what He's told us about Himself. The question before us then helps us remember this important truth. We are to glorify and enjoy God. And the only way that we can do that is if we give our attention to Him as He has made Himself known to us in the Bible. Now, second, notice that man's purpose joins glorifying God and enjoying God together. This is the main focus of the answer before us, glorifying and enjoying God. What does it mean when it says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him? Well, let's start with what it means to glorify God. Something that is glorious is full of great honor and beauty and perfection. Now, none is as glorious as God. He is only good, most holy. He excels all other things and infinitely so. We know that God has all glory of Himself. This is a great truth. He's not dependent on anything else. All creation shows forth His glory, and the whole Bible testifies of this truth. We read, for instance, in Psalm 145, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." Now, the Bible tells us that God is perfectly glorious. Well, if it's so that He is, how then can we glorify Him? Well, it's not that we add to His glory or make Him, as it were, more glorious than He already is. Instead, we glorify Him when we purposefully honor Him in our thoughts and in our speech, and when we direct all praise to Him. We glorify Him when we live for Him and when we don't live for ourselves. In other words, to glorify Him is to do all for and by and in Christ Jesus. Remember one of our key verses that we mentioned, Colossians 3 and verse 17. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Christ teaches this to His disciples in Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Notice the first thing, the primary thing, or in the words of our catechism, the chief thing that we're to do is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When we place the honor of God first in all that we do, it's then that we're glorifying Him. The Bible tells us we glorify God by obeying Him and leading others to praise Him. We see this in Matthew 5 and verse 16. Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We can glorify God in our thoughts and desires and actions. We do so when what we think and what we desire and what we do are all for God's honor and in accordance to what He has taught. The Catechism tells us that this is our first goal in all that we do. We have many secondary purposes. We must care for others. We must care for our own body. We must honor our parents. Students must learn their lessons and study. When we grow up, we'll have a job with a particular purpose. But all of these purposes are supposed to be done to our greatest purpose, to glorify and enjoy God. Let me give you one example from the Bible. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and among other relationships, he addressed the relationship that existed between servants and masters. Now, it was a difficult thing to be a servant in Paul's day. They were supposed to do anything their earthly master commanded them. They were to clean and cook and take care of business. Now, how is a Christian servant supposed to do all of these things and glorify God? They couldn't be a missionary and go and cross the ocean to a different land and tell others about the gospel. They couldn't be an apostle and go forth and plant churches to God's praise. But you'll notice, while a servant didn't get to choose what he was going to do on a daily basis, he was told how he was to do the things that were demanded of him. Paul writes of this in Ephesians 6, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Do you see? Yes, they were to honor their earthly masters. They were to do so sincerely. But notice, they were to do all of their difficult job unto Christ. When they were told to clean up a mess, they were to clean up that mess as if they were doing so for Christ. When they were told to prepare a meal, they were to be preparing that meal as if they were preparing it for Christ. Everything they did, they were to do as to Christ. And this is how we can glorify God in all of our life, regardless of our circumstances. When we speak, when we think, when we act, when we go to school, when we learn, when we eat our food, when we play with our friends, when we gather on the Lord's Day to worship God at church, we should always be able to say, "I am doing this to honor and glorify God." Now, unfortunately, mankind has sinned against God. Instead of glorifying God, we have dishonored him. We cannot repair this ourselves. If we are to glorify God, to honor him, what we've done to dishonor him must be addressed. It must be forgiven. And this only comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, consider what he's done and how we receive that forgiveness more fully in future lessons. But for now, realize this. There is no way of fulfilling our chief end of glorifying or enjoying God without first trusting in Jesus Christ. We must first be restored to God in peace before we can glorify God in our lives. We should also remember that if we are to glorify God, we must do so by loving him. We may outwardly do certain things, but without love, nothing will be done sincerely. For instance, if a child is asked to clean his room, he may pick up and put away everything that's disordered. However, his mind and heart may be angry while he's doing it. He may be complaining in his thoughts, though he never utters a word of it. And though his action outwardly is doing what he was told, inwardly, he's not doing the action lovingly. If we go to church and sing God's praise, if we read the Bible and join in prayer, but we're doing those things without love, though the right thing is being done outwardly, we are not glorifying God because we're not loving him. And this helps us see that glorifying God is joined with enjoying him. While we are glorifying God, we're called to enjoy God. In other words, our purpose is not merely to obey. Rather, we're to obey cheerfully. We are not only to read God's word, we're to read it and find it to be sweet to our soul. We're not just to sing God's praise, we're to sing with joy and express our sincere delight to God and in God. We're to enjoy him. Perhaps you've wondered at times why you like the things you do, or someone asks you, why do you like these things? You can ask a child, why do you like that? A child may like candy, and you ask them, why do you like candy? I like it because it's sweet, the child says. You can ask, why do you like sweet things? And perhaps you get the answer, I like sweet things because they make me smile, they make me happy. And we can keep asking the question of why do you like? But eventually, it becomes clear that we like the things that we find to be good and pleasant, the things that make us happy. Now, this is how we're to think of God. He is good. He is pleasant, and we ought to be happy in him. It's true that he is the Most High. He inhabits eternity. He is most glorious. However, he has called us to enjoy him. This should raise a question in our minds right away. How can we, who have sinned against him, ever hope to enjoy him? You can see a picture of this struggle in the story of Adam and Eve. When they were first made, God gave them everything they needed, everything for their provision, everything for their happiness. But they foolishly listened to the serpent and sinned against God by eating the forbidden fruit. After this, we read an important part of the story in Genesis 3 and verse 8. We read, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Now think of that for a moment. God comes near to them, and they run and hide from him. Why did they do that? God came near to be with his special creation that was to reflect him, and instead of turning to him, they turned away from him. His creation fled from him. That's because they couldn't enjoy him, because they had sinned against him. They stood guilty before God, and their consciences would not let them enjoy God. They could not enjoy him because by sin they had become his enemies. Now, this is our problem too. How can we ever hope to enjoy God when we've sinned against him? His law condemns us. Our consciences testify against us. We've sinned. We cannot enjoy God like we should. What hope is there then? Well, the hope is not in us. We don't have the power to reestablish what we've lost. But the wonder is this: God has established a way of peace by his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul teaches this in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. He writes, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." The only way of enjoying God in our lives is first by receiving peace with him by Christ Jesus. If we have Jesus Christ and peace with God by him, we may then go about all of our lives with great joy in God. But if we do not have Jesus Christ and peace with God by him, we can do many things outwardly, even religious things outwardly. We will never enjoy God, and we will never truly glorify God. So be sure, as you think of this question and answer, that you start with this need, that if ever you're to glorify and enjoy him, you must first have Jesus Christ, who's the Savior of sinners, that brings us again into a restored fellowship with God. And when it is that we have Jesus as our Savior, then we will be led to a life of glorifying and enjoying God by him. Well, thirdly, man's purpose is an everlasting purpose. We've seen that all that we do is to be done to glorify God and enjoy him. And some of the things we do in this life, however, come to an end. For example, our days as a child will come to an end. Our days as a student in school will come to an end. A mother has a purpose to feed and nurse her baby, but when the baby grows older, she no longer has that particular purpose. These secondary purposes change and come to an end. But our primary purpose, our chief end, never ends. This is our purpose through all of life, as a young child, to an older child, from childhood till adulthood, till the day that we die. Whether single or married, with children or without children, we're always to be glorifying God and enjoying him. However, it goes further and it reaches beyond this life, even into heaven. What are the saints doing in heaven? Well, right now, they are glorifying and enjoying God. We see something of a glimpse of this in Revelation chapter 7. Verses 9 through 12. Notice all of the nations are gathered in heaven. And what are they doing? They're worshiping and glorifying and delighting in God. John writes, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So it is that all who are in heaven will ever be fulfilling their highest end, glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. Well, let me close with a few thoughts to consider. We ought to think seriously upon this question and answer. And in order to do so, let's try to bring it to ourselves. The question of the Catechism reads, What is the chief end of man? I hope you'll have the answer memorized soon. If you don't already, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But now let me make it a bit more direct to you. What is your chief end? Could you answer that? You should be able to say, My chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You have this purpose. You have not only a purpose in life, but the greatest purpose in life. It's far more than just making a living or receiving wages or an income. It's far more than learning or playing. It's even more than having a family or going to church, as important as these things are. You exist with this purpose, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We can use this truth every day and at every moment. We can ask the question, is what I am about to do glorifying to God? We can ask, when I read or listen to God's Word, am I finding this to be a joy to my soul? Well, I hope that as we continue through our lessons, you will learn more about this great God whom we are to glorify and enjoy. And I hope that as you do, you will see why He is to be glorified and enjoyed. And I hope that you will learn how to glorify and enjoy Him better. But most of all, I hope that you will glorify and enjoy Him forever as you trust in and live by faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior.
Thank you for watching this lecture on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We trust you have learned much from the instruction given. Please join us in praying that these lectures will be a rich blessing for people throughout the world.